Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Lord, I ask that you would break in this morning. That you would give people the ability to dream again. To come alive in the yes of their heart. Let dreams come alive again, Lord. Let everyone in this room begin to know who they really are in you and who you are in them. Awaken the song, Lord. Everyone in this room has a song. Some are singing it. Awaken it, Lord. Pray right now and ask, Lord, for your heart, for our hearts to be free and have the courage to follow after you. For every stronghold that is around our hearts, that it would be broken, that healing would take place, and the yes in our hearts would arise. For every generation represented here, for the Abrahams, the Isaacs, and the Jacobs, let the zeal and the fire of God arise within us. Let us rise above captivity into a place of a new song, creativity, and dance, that we would step across, Lord, into what you've called us to be, not what somebody is dictating us to be. Come, Lord Jesus. Breathe on this moment. And have your way. In Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Well, this is pretty exciting. God is really done a miracle here. It's 10:32 on that clock over there, and I got an hour and a half to preach to y'all this morning. Isn't that awesome? What are you thinking? Is that good or what? Now, I saw a couple eyes roll, and I won't point you out. I'm very excited to speak to you this morning. And I'm going to be speaking about the heart of worship. I feel very strongly about that, as most of you know, if you've been with us for any period of time, that we started in the area of worship, being warriors, proclaiming God's goodness, and worship has always been a big part of who we are, the house of prayer, everything we've done. But it's not only supposed to be a big part of who we are, it's supposed to be a big part of who you are, that you would be a worshiper. There's several generations, I think, represented in this room this morning. And I pray that the young, those in the middle, and the old get what I'm about ready to share. I really want to pray over the young, too. We need to all be open to experience a new language that God has for our hearts. A new language. That language I'm speaking about is a language of the heart. And the reason why is we will pray unto God according to the language of our heart. That's how we will pray. And if our heart isn't where it needs to be, if there are strongholds trying to keep us away from being free, what we just sung about, we have to ask the Lord to help us, to heal us, so that our hearts can be free to pray. And you're going to pray the language of your heart. So how is your heart today? I think that's the question you have to ask and how we have to pray. Lord, I want a heart that's on fire for you, that's free. The language of the heart. Sometimes, and this happens with me a lot, probably happens with you too, sometimes when I'm worshiping, I get in a place where all of a sudden it seems like something is just mounting up and I've just almost got to shout, yes! Because it's just right there and it wants to be released. Some of us have a tendency, including myself, to shut that down or to be distracted when other people begin to get free in worship. God wants you free. He wants the yes to come out of you with a shout. When that happens, you express it. It's like your whole being comes into agreement of this massive moment called the yes. Maybe you feel that, maybe you don't, maybe you've had that, maybe you haven't. I'm encouraging you to release it when you have it. Today I'm praying that dreams come alive. And I'm praying that your dreams will come back alive when you say that yes in your heart with everything you've got. In the place of freedom. God was leading you in a slow dance this morning in worship. You probably felt the tug, a little bit of tug. He was leading you, and he was trying to get you to let him lead as you give him your heart. He wants to dance with you. Most people will never say that. He wants to dance with you. And he wants to dance with me. That yes is lined up with God's heart. And so today, and every day after this, I just pray and encourage you to let your dreams come alive. What is your dreams? What has God placed within you? Everyone in here, whether you're a musician or whether you're not a musician, you have a song. And God wants you to sing that song with everything you have. Whether you're a writer, whether you're a poet, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a principal of a high school, he wants you to sing it with all that you have. The song that he's given you to sing. And sometimes, and that's why I'm standing up here today, sometimes the culture that is around you tries to diminish your song. Matter of fact, religion can keep you away from singing your song. Keep you from being the warring worshiper that God intends for you to be. And many times God's people, they don't know who they really are. Because they haven't worshiped in the secret place or stayed there long enough. And that's what I hope today. The shout is powerful. But if the shout doesn't come from being in a secret place and an abiding place, it's just a shout. I believe that God wants our prayers and our worship to enter into the throne room of God. I believe that he has a door that will open up when, and it's in Revelations, when we are in the secret place and the abiding place and we begin to bring our song before the Lord, that the heavens will open up on our behalf and put the enemy in his place. That's what we have at our disposal if we believe and we understand and we're worshipers. God's enemy encamps around the purposes of God's people. He encamps against you and he encamps against me. And the whole purpose is one thing, maybe several, but one thing that I know, to take your song away. To take your song away. To cause you not to dream anymore and believe. Not only your song, but all your creativity. To take it away. to take away your dance, to take away everything. This kind of brings me, first of all, let's go to Psalm 91 real quick. I just want to show you something. Everybody loves Psalm 91. It's a warrior's psalm. You probably pray it. I know that we've prayed it going to bed at night. But I just want you to look at the first two verses, Psalm 91, 1 and 2. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide. That abiding is abiding in His presence. The secret place. And I believe that scripture is saying, if you will abide in the secret place, every promise in the rest of Psalm 91 is available to you. As you abide in the secret place, in the resting place, and you're trusting Him. You can rest in that. You can trust in that. Worship and warfare. It happens when we're abiding in that place. And all promises are released. Now I'm going to kind of take you to a story that I've read so many times and I love it. And it's in Exodus. If you'll turn to Exodus 14. It has a lot to do with worship. It has a lot to do with moving forward. This story right here is the powerful story of when Moses led the people into freedom and moved them through the Red Sea. And I remember this story, and I love reading this story. I read it several times this weekend. I encourage you to read it. I remember when I was 12 years old, and I was in the Palace Theater in Gary, Indiana, on 8th and Broadway. And I remember Charlton Heston, Moses. Well, this isn't him. But I got to tell you that movie had an impact on my life at the age of 12. This is a story about the freedom of walking in your destiny. And it's a little bit long, but we're going to go through the scripture. And it has a lot to do with what I'm going to share with you this morning, since I have an hour and 15 minutes left. Verse 3, "The Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." The enemy says that many times about you and about us. They're just wandering. But God has a plan. And so it says in verse 4, "Thus I will harden," this is God speaking, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all the army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Go to verse 10. Should have that. Verse 10. "As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." This has a lot of significance, I believe, even on this day for many believers. A lot of people want to go back to Egypt, want to go back to the things that they knew. And God's saying, break forth into the new and come into what I have for you. In verse 13, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.'" Now look at this. I love this. "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again." Look at verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Woo! I can be in a place of prayer, in a place of worship, and the Lord will fight on my behalf as I trust Him. And I know that He'll lead me into the next day, in the next part of the promise, of the dream that He has for me and He has for you. Go to verse 19. "The angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved The angel of God who was going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided. Verse 22, the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. They went through on dry land. They did not carry any mud into the new land that they were moving into. It was dry land. It was the promise. And just earlier, they were complaining. But God loved them so much, like He loves you. It's okay that you complain, but He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to move forward in who God's called you to be. Verse 24. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. I like this one. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. And He made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Go to chapter 15. This is what I want to really focus on. There was a process with Moses. There's a process with you on your journey with God. Moses was on the backside of the desert thinking everything was over. And God, he heard God's voice, and he moved with God's voice. What I want you to see is that for 400 years, the Israelites were in captivity. They were in darkness. They didn't have a song. They didn't write anything. They weren't creative. They weren't dancing. There was no musicians. There was nothing. For 400 years, they lived in captivity and in darkness. But in the moment that God broke through for them on their behalf, and they stepped on in the dry land, and they made it to the other side, in that moment, you know what took place? In the midst of their freedom, a song began to erupt within them. They couldn't contain themselves, and they began to sing, and they began to dance. Miriam got all the gals and said, "Let's do it. Let's dance, and let's worship Him." And they got together, and they even used a timbrel, which was a little like a tambourine, so to speak. And whose was that? Because they didn't have any instruments. It was the spoils of Egypt. God wants you to be able to utilize sometimes the spoils of where you've been to give God glory of where you're going. This gets good. So Moses, they all break out in song. It says the song of Moses erupts. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord. This is a long song. I'll just do through verse 3. It says, "I will sing." The song broke forth. "I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and" what? Song. The Lord is your song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. This is my God. I hope that from this day forward that you say more than enough, "This is my God, and I will praise Him. This is my God. He is doing a great thing in our midst because I believe. I'm in the quiet place. I'm seeking Him. My prayers are making it into heaven. My prayers of making it into the throne room, and God is meditating on my prayers to release His judgment and justice in the earth. This is who He is, and this is what is available to those that seek Him and lay their lives down for Him." the Lord. He's my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will extol Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Now jump over to verse 19. For the horses of Pharaoh, with his chariots and his horsemen, went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. Now Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with the spoils of Egypt. And they were dancing, and they were singing. And this is what they were singing. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and his rider He has hurled into the sea." What song are you singing? Of where God has been mighty for you. When everybody complained against Moses, why? Can you imagine Moses saying, "Why did you pick me?" I know he had to have that thought. Why? Why didn't you pick some young guy with a bunch of zeal? And God said, "I did pick a young guy with a bunch of zeal. And I took him through a process of life to bring him to the place that he needed to be. And that's you, Moses." Have we ever been overconfident? Have we ever been presumptuous? Think about it. But God said, "Yes. I'm with you." Amen. I'm with you. Doesn't matter. Moses said this to Pharaoh. Listen. He said, "Pharaoh, you let my people go." He did not say that, "Hey, Pharaoh, could you let my people go?" It wasn't an appeal. It was a prophecy from God. He said, "You let my people go." I believe God is saying today to each and every one of us in this room, "Let my people go. Let them be free who they are. Let them walk in the fullness of what they're called to walk in." This generation needs to know who they are. They need to know the song of the Lord. I just pray even today that the word of the Lord will be released in this house. And that the atmosphere of truth and who you were created to be will be released. I believe the sea is about to part for some of you. And I hope that today you take your song back. You take your vision back. Your giftings. They're for God. You take them back and give Him glory. We cannot cultivate around negativity. We need to step out and step into what God has called us to do. We need to step into our future with God, not away from Him. Now this, you might want to write this down. This is a pretty heavy thing, and I'll try to explain it. If your memories are more powerful than your dreams, you're sabotaging your future. And also those who are coming behind you. If your memories are more powerful than your dreams, you're sabotaging your future and the others that are coming behind you. Now listen, I love the gift of photography. I love that there's some great memories. And when you take a shot on a camera, you'll never get that shot again, will you? Photography is awesome and some memories are good. But if you're living in your memories and not in what God has called you to be and to do, you're going to grow weary. And you're going to sabotage the dreams that God has for you. How would it be to wake up when you're old? And how frightening would it be to one day look back over your life and wonder where it went? How sad would that be? I want to encourage you today. Most of us spend a lot of our time making a living and not making a life. There's nothing wrong with making a living, But God wants you to make a life in Him one day at a time. Make a life in Christ. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. How about when you say, well, I think it's too late. Maybe technology has just kind of passed me by, and sometimes we think it's too late. And we're afraid to dream again. Then when we become those that can't dream again, we become the men and the women that begin to write rules and regulations that stop the young ones from dreaming again. Do you hear me? Sometimes, well, my role in the church is just to go back and tell the sound man that things are too loud. That's my role now. I'm asking all of you, young and old, get the vision, get the dream from God. Because if you don't, you'll end up writing rules and regulations that will hinder the dreamers. God doesn't want that to happen. I want to help the future dreamers. I want to encourage them. Everybody knows this, I think, but I just want to say it. Your destiny is not in this world, it's in God. Back to Moses. Those who stepped across that day on dry land, I want you to realize that they were young and old. They were every age. They got their song back, and they came alive. They began to worship. They got their song back. Don't isolate your song, the song of your life. Otis Hackett has just started a songwriter's night. And this weekend, as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about what a wonderful thing that is. He's causing men and women who normally probably wouldn't release their songs to have a venue to release their songs again and to begin to write again, to begin to dream again. And probably some of them just felt like they weren't good enough. Well, let me tell you this. It's a sad day when somebody writes a beautiful song or even a song of their heart that you may not like, and you condemn it instead of saying, ah, they got their song out. God is calling us to get our songs out. And the enemy of our soul wants to keep us isolated and away from being those who release songs. God inhabits the praises of His people. To the young and to the old, in this house, this day, I believe God is giving you permission to dream again. Take it and run with it. He's giving you permission to dream again. To think that your time is past is basically robbing the kingdom of the dreams of God that are in you, that are still left in you, that need to be shared. There's songs in you. There's life in you. There's stories in you. There's all kinds of gifts, whether they be administration, cooking, it doesn't matter. You've got gifts, and they're valuable. I want to close with this. In Voice Ministries in the kingdom of God, we need the Abrahams. We need the Isaacs, and we need the Jacobs. What do I mean by that? The Abrahams. Those that have been down the road a little bit that have deep wells that can help us. We need the moms and the dads, the grandpas and grandmas. The Isaacs. That middle generation that's filled with resources and activity and are beginning to make things move. And then, of course, the Jacobs. The younger generation. We need you to stand up and grab hold of your song. That ball of zeal and that fire and that passion and that energy that is in the Jacobs. We need that to be released. All functioning under the power of God. I'll move quickly through this, and then we're going to stand and pray. Today we need to break the obstacles, people. We need to identify what the obstacles are, and we need to break them. We need to allow God to heal our hearts, to break away the strongholds, to break away those places that we find comfortable that we've kind of isolated ourselves to instead of walking in the fullness of who God called us to be. Moses stepped into a new day, and I believe there's a new day coming for all of us. And mark my words on this one. I believe a lot of the people that are going to be shaking heaven and shaking the kingdom of God in the region are probably these quiet people that have been so reserved and not said a word, but they've been in the presence of God. The loud ones can come too. Everybody's welcome. But I believe there's some just quiet folks that are just sitting with God that are going to break out and like, "Whoa, where did he come from? Where does she come from? Who is she?" She's a warrior, a worshiping warrior. Moses was shut down. So I'll leave you with this again. This is what? Third closing. Moses was shut down on the backside of the desert. He didn't think he was the guy, but he heard God's voice again. And he moved in the midst of it. There's a story about a Welsh revival that took place in the 1900s. And that Welsh revival was kicked off by a man that worked in the coal mines. And he stood out in front of the coal mines and he prayed for the common people. And a great revival broke out because he just cared for the people. And he prayed. And when that happened, I don't have time to go into the story, but I want to. Maybe on Tuesday night I will, because I'm going to speak on worship Tuesday night again. But all of a sudden, when the revival broke out in Wales, all of a sudden the creativity was going through the roof. Some of you are descendants from that revival. But you just don't know your history. You don't know your genealogy. There's probably been a lot of great things that's been passed down to you that you need to claim hold of. There was a Welsh man. And this is shocking a little bit. There was a Welsh man that divided our country. His name was Elvis Presley. One day, this Tupelo, Mississippi youth pastor in a Pentecostal church, a director, had a song. And when he released that song, the next day his music steps out and it changes the world. They rejected him immediately. He didn't fit the rules and regulations of that day. But check this out. His mother was Jewish. Her last name was Asher. His father was Welsh, Presley, from the Presley Mountains, where the sounds of the Tabernacle of David are even released to this day. Because of the migration of the Jews to that land with the original sound of the Tabernacle of David. What we hear a lot in Israel is a sound more from the Russian Jews that have come down. And so Presley is a Welsh name. The Tabernacle of David needs to be heard again. The Welsh preachers were called poets. This generation needs to walk in what God's called them to, in our purposes. If you know anything even about Elvis, he did a lot to try to come back and do gospel music and things, but the rejection might have been too great for him. Someone would have just maybe loved him, maybe it would have went a little different. We need to be obedient. What God is saying. So would you all stand right now just for a moment? I'm just going to pray over you, and I'm going to believe along with other brothers and sisters in here that God's going to ignite something, especially in the young generation. Question, how many feel they need to awaken their dreams, their songs, their poems, their writings, their giftings in business, the books, kingdom dreams this morning? How many want to awaken to step into your destiny, your next season? That hope would arise in you today, and that you would be awakened to kingdom purposes. My prayer this morning was, God, come and do something powerful to our spirits today. That we would move forward with new graces and resurrected dreams. The last thing is that no God-given dream or idea would be aborted, but that it would be birthed again in what you were called to do. That nothing God has called you to. So will you close your eyes and just open your hands, and I just want to pray over you. And if Michael gets something to sing over you, Lord, I'm asking today, this day, that you would help us to dream again. Says, Lord, that you're going to raise up the tabernacle of David in Amos 9:11. And all the breaches will be taken care of, the breaches between us and you and the breaches between people, that you will raise it up and rebuild it from the days of old. God, we're asking today that you would raise up the dreams and visions that you have for us. Holy Spirit, come and move in a powerful way that we would say yes with our heart. Say, I am going to walk in my destiny with God. I am going to walk in my destiny with God. If you want to repeat that with me, let's say it together. I will walk in the destiny of my God. One more time. I will walk in the destiny of my God. We say yes to that, Lord. Awaken the kingdom purposes within us. Cause us to be hungry today. To move forward in your grace, Lord. That every dream that we've laid down that's of you, that it would resurrect this day. Every God idea and dream would move forward this day. That the songwriters, the musicians, all creativity, dance, everything we do, will be brought back front and center for you, Lord. Today, awaken. Awaken in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every dream in this place, bring us together to be a warring community of worship for your glory. Bring our families together to be warring families for your glory. Bring us back to that secret place, abiding in you. I'm sorry, Lord, that you are our strong tower. Bring us back, Lord. If you know that song, sing it with Michael as a proclamation. Let dreams come alive today, Lord. I'm so Lord, think I'm amazing. It's all about you. We would know who we are. Let the song be birthed today. We pick up our song, Lord. We say yes to our song. Isolated. We move to the front side. We move to the place of release.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made.
This is a point of release.
It's all about you.
Receive it today.
It's all about you.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Every one of you have a song. Take it with you today. Hopefully the Lord encouraged you and the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Let it just keep having its way within you. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you for being a wonderful group of people. And no one threw anything at me when I said I was going to preach for an hour and a half. So I might take you up on it one of these days. Now, God bless you guys. You go in peace and go in the word of the Lord. Tuesday night, I'll be speaking on the heart of worship again. Session 2.